A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones, and the person who is dishonest in small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Allow me to sidestep the Gospel today and reflect with you on an issue that I think needs our pause and reflection, and that is the increasing violent carnage that takes place in our land with growing regularity, as we witnessed this past week at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. Just a couple of points, the first being a question that I'm not sure I have the answer to. But if we look at the people who are the perpetrators of these heinous acts, they are young men who have been criminalized and have mental health issues. And my question is there something systemically wrong that is producing them? What do I mean? I live three blocks from here in the midst of poverty. I can go home today and I'll see a 16-year-old girl pushing a baby carriage, and it's babies having babies. The father is nowhere to be found. From the moment that child takes his first breath, he or she is destined to live in poverty all their life. On warm summer evenings, I can see a group of young black men standing on a street corner, drinking a couple cans of beer and smoking a joint. They can't get a job. They don't have family to support them. They don't have any hope for the future. They're just sort of systemically mired in the cycle of poverty. When St. Patrick's native, Bishop John Mark Gannon, became Bishop of Erie in 1918, he undertook a number of steps that forever changed the face of Erie. For example, in 1921, he wrote to the pastors in the city, and he said, "No Catholic man can be elected to city council, to be mayor, to be a judge, to be appointed district attorney, and we're going to change that. I'm going to open a school to educate our Catholic young men so that they can have equal opportunity, and I'm going to call it Cathedral Preparatory School for Boys." And then a few years later, he did the same thing with what is now Gannon University. And look at the rank and file of all of those offices in this city today, and almost every person occupying them attended one or another of those schools. But we forget that that visionary bishop also founded Harbor Creek School for Boys. He went to law enforcement authorities and he said to them, "Don't take these young men who have been dealt a rotten deck of cards and who are becoming petty criminals and put them into the system because they will become hardened criminals." He said, "Instead, give them to me and I will educate them and make productive citizens." He then founded Gannondale School for Girls for unwed mothers, and today it serves the same purpose of criminal young ladies as does Harbor Creek for young men. And the success stories out of those two institutions are absolutely astounding. By taking people out of poverty and out of the criminal system and educating them, we've been able to turn them into productive citizens. And so I wonder if there is not something systemically wrong that is producing these perpetrators. Secondly, every one of us in this room would admit that the federal government is becoming increasingly dysfunctional. If you read the Constitution, the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government exist for one reason: to serve the common good. But increasingly, the people who go to Washington aren't interested in the common good. Instead, they go with their own agenda and try and impose it upon everyone. And it is because of that precisely that this nation was founded, that our ancestors, midst great hardship and suffering, left the monarchs of Europe who were trying to impose their agenda and their beliefs upon them and came and founded this new land of freedom. But are we going full cycle? If you examine carefully every great civilization that has collapsed, Persia, Macedonia, Egypt, Greece, Rome, they all collapsed when the central government no longer served the common good. It has happened before, and God forbid, but it could happen again. Thirdly, we have to have some type of a reasoned conversation about guns. I was born in St. Mary's. I grew up in Johnsonburg. I am probably the only one in my extended family who does not hunt. If I go to one of my cousins' homes, there's the gun rack with all of their guns, and that's wonderful. It's a great sport. They get great enjoyment out of it, and it should be. But do we need these weapons of mass destruction that a mentally deranged young man can walk into a classroom of beautiful, innocent little children and in a matter of seconds just gun them down, take their lives from them, and destroy the lives of their parents and their families? But every time we try to have a reasoned conversation, the rhetoric becomes so inflammatory that no progress is made. The lobbyists come crawling out from under the desks, and all the legislators in Washington cave in, and we remain at the same status quo. Nothing changes, and we just sit back and wait a few weeks until there's another carnage. Fourthly, evil exists in our world. It is the fundamental premise of all Christianity that it is a struggle between the forces of good and evil. We are told that Jesus stretched out his hands to endure his passion so as to break the bonds of death and manifest the resurrection. And how can we expect good to conquer evil if we are increasingly a people who say we don't need God in our lives? Now, I'm preaching to the choir, but in our own little diocese of Erie, only 26% of Catholics now go to Mass. Since the year 2000, our baptisms have declined by 35%. Our marriages are down by 55%. Even our funerals are down by 45%. And if we increasingly say we don't need God in our lives, how do we expect the force of good to overcome the force of evil? I think, in fact, it's a moment for all of us to be sober and somber, because great civilizations have collapsed in the past, and it could happen again. It's a moment to bow our heads in prayer. O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. O beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Amen.